There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Always a fair question as we get started with Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And a lot of ways to get in touch with the show. The easiest would be the text line and the phone line, which both use the same number string, 343-0106, 343-0106. If y'all are new to town, just traveling through, welcome. 251-343-0106. That's us. So you can text us and call us. Also, leave us a talkback message with that microphone icon there on the front page of the FM Talk 106.5 app. If you'll press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. All right, as we get started, of course, we're going to go to the oppressor from Hegseth and talk about this. I know there's been some discussion already on the show, but you and I haven't discussed it, so we'll do that. And as we think about this as well, what I saw, and I did not get to go in, but I told you that where I live, I travel through what I call Fireworks Canyon to get to my house. We actually talked about that area a lot during the annexation discussion for the city of Mobile. And this is Snow Road, right? You get Airport Boulevard west of Snow Road, and there, you know, a couple fireworks stands out there, and a big one. And it's really nice. If y'all didn't realize, even with all that I say during, you know, Memorial Day, when I say, hey, don't shoot fireworks off during Memorial Day. Remember when I go on a couple times a year on different things, I jump on a soapbox. That's one of the times I jump on a soapbox. But I tell y'all during that, I'm like, it's not that I don't love fireworks, because I do. I love them a lot. A t-shirt. I wish I could get, I don't know where, I had a t-shirt that says I love fireworks with the heart thing. You know, Independence Day, my favorite holiday. Fireworks, I love them. So season has started, right, for the Independence Day holiday. The stores are open, and I have not gotten to go through yet. I do each year, and hopefully I'll post these up here in the next week or so. I like to go through, and the names of fireworks are some of my favorite things. I don't know if y'all paid attention when you... I'm not talking about saying bottle rocket, Roman candle. I'm talking about the cakes and the different displays have... The names are fantastic. It's fun just to go through there and look at the names. And I'm just wondering, in the turnaround, I know we were told that we'd have issues getting fireworks because of the embargo going on. I haven't heard of any... Have y'all gone to fireworks stands? Do they have a full assortment? Or where are the prices on those? Maybe we'll dig into that here in the next couple of weeks. But I don't know how fast they can turn around production on fireworks. You know, they probably like different products out there. One factory makes the product, and then different companies label it for their own use. I don't know in the fireworks world, you know, when they put the wrapping on it to call this the, you know, the terminating mission or whatever they have all the names for them. So I don't know when that happens, but if they had time to get this done, don't you think Bunker Buster for a fire? Don't you think if they had a, it would be called the Bunker Buster, that would sell big? Midnight Hammer? I think if they could take a currently existing firework, you know, the cake thing, and rewrap them here. I'm not telling you how to do your business, fireworks people, and I know we got people calling, so they'll get your calls here at 343-0106. I'm not here to tell you how to do your job, fireworks people, and name fireworks, but just throwing that out there. Okay. Also, as we get started, thank you, a buddy of mine's, I don't know thank you. You know what? No, not thank you. So I'm a West Side guy. I am a Mobile County guy, and over my life, I was always told about the jubilees after they happened, right? It's never, never on that Eastern Shore side to take advantage of them. Have seen one at one real one in my life for a jubilee. But I get pictures this morning of jubilee started. Speaking of jubilees and all that kind of stuff, a hypoxia story on the way in today's show. We'll get into what's coming out of some low oxygen situations off the south end of the bay. We'll talk about that as well. But first, yes, the press conference here. And while we're listening to this from Pete Hegseth, we can come up with new fireworks names stemming off of the last weekend's mission into Iran. But the Hegseth thing, and because when I come back, I'm also going to do what I do. I think Hegseth was great in this. At the same time, I've got a series of stories that question, did we get all the uranium? Could we have possibly gotten all the uranium? You know, what is Iran left with? I think those are fair questions. I don't think that is something you should ask, which, oh, by the way, too. Ayatollah Khamenei has now declared, this is coming out in the last couple hours, the presser from, I guess they have a press conference with the Ayatollah, said that he's now declared, this reminds me of Baghdad Bob. Remember him, who was working for Saddam Hussein? Khamenei's now declared victory over Israel and America. Oh, so there you go. He said the U.S. strikes achieved nothing in Iran, and that Iran had slapped America's face. So there you go. That's the reaction from Iran. I wouldn't expect anything else. But here, the presser from this morning, if you didn't catch it, a couple minutes here with Pete Hegseth, and then we'll be right back.
Because you, and I mean specifically you, the press, specifically you, the press corps, because you cheer against Trump so hard, it's like in your DNA and in your blood to cheer against Trump, because you want him not to be successful so bad, you have to cheer against the efficacy of these strikes. You have to hope maybe they weren't effective. Maybe the way the Trump administration has represented them isn't true. So let's take half-truths, spun information, leaked information, and then spin it. Spin it in every way we can to try to cause doubt and manipulate the mind, the public mind, over whether or not our brave pilots were successful. How many stories have been written about how hard it is to, I don't know, fly a plane for 36 hours? Has MSNBC done that story? Has Fox? Have we done the story how hard that is? Have we done it two or three times so that American people understand? How about how difficult it is to shoot a drone from an F-15 or 16 or F-22 or F-35? Or what it's like to man a Patriot battery? Or how hard it is to refuel midair, giving the American people an understanding of how complex and sophisticated this mission really was. There are so many aspects of what our brave men and women did that, because of the hatred of this press corps, are undermined because your people are trying to leak and spin that it wasn't successful. It's irresponsible. And folks in this room are privy to that information because of the proximity here in the Pentagon. It's an important responsibility. And time again, classified information is leaked or peddled for political purposes to try to make the president look bad. And what's really happening is you're undermining the success of incredible B-2 pilots and incredible F-35 pilots and incredible refuelers and incredible air defenders who accomplished their mission, set back a nuclear program in ways that other presidents would have dreamed. How about we celebrate that? How about we talk about how special America is, that only we have these capabilities? I think it's too much to ask, unfortunately, for the fake news.
Okay, so a little bit, and we'll get another clip, too, in a second from Hegseth. So, well done, but I also understand. So, what Hegseth does there is puts the onus back on the press corps, and he has absolutely some reason and many reasons to do that. There are definitely so many in that press corps that have an angle that they want to see Trump fail. There are also others asking questions here about the efficacy of the strikes that are doing their job as the media. So both things are true. Now, what Hegseth says about doing stories that are about the success of our troops, and well said. I don't know that he should be talking about that when we didn't just have a mission, right? That should be a all around. But you could argue that the job of the Fourth Estate here is to hold government, hold responsibility to government. So I do understand, and I do cheer a lot of what Hegseth said there. I do. Maybe I've been doing this too long, and I have a little bit of a cynical streak in me. I can also see what he's doing there from a, you know, from a political move, which is, it's smart, it's savvy. The one that gets me here, and yes, absolutely, within that press corps, there are people that no matter what was done, they will spin it negative because it's Trump. They're all, the problem is it all gets lumped together. Just like you know, Jeff talked about people like Bannon and Carlson getting lumped together with people on the left that are just anti anything Trump does. There are some of us that ask questions not because we dislike Trump, but we're Americans and can ask these questions. And then there's also the flip side here, too. This one, I think, out of the clips from this morning was the best. This is maybe the best slam dunk. I think it's not got, it's like second or third probably up in the hits list from this morning's presser, when Secretary Hegseth is asked a question about female pilots, a female pilot on this trip, and he responds this way. I think this, y'all listen to this. This, now this is probably the best example of the wasted time in media and politics.
Why not acknowledge the female pilots that also participated in this mission? The early messages that you sent out only congratulated the boys.
So when I say something like our boys and bombers, see, this is the kind of thing the press does, right? Of course, the chairman mentioned a female bomber pilot. That's fantastic. She's fantastic. She's a hero. I want more female bomber pilots. I hope the men and women of our country sign up to do such brave and audacious things. But when you spin it as, because I say our boys and bombers as a common phrase, I'll keep saying things like that, whether they're men or women, very proud of that female pilot, just like I'm very proud of those male pilots. And I don't care if it's a male or a female in that cockpit, and the American people don't care. But it's the obsession with race and gender in this department that's changed priorities. We don't do that anymore. We don't play your little games. Yes.
Now that was well done. Well done. Because the best question they could ask was why he hadn't specifically talked about the gender of pilots. All right. Coming back. More Midday Mobile. 343-0106 for a call or a text. Get right back to you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1222 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Glad to have you along, and good time to check in before the weekend gets started with my man Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor and talk about some equipment you might be using this weekend. Let's talk about steel. You know, I'm a fan of steel products, and you've got, what did you tell me the other day? Like, they took a third of the front of my showroom for handheld products, man. How's it looking?
They did, and we're still stocked up on them. We're constantly having to order from them now because it seems everybody likes the steel handhelds. We've got a little bit of everything in gas and electric, and I was kind of shocked. New as a steel dealer, at what all they have to offer. I mean, pressure washers, electric and gas. Of course, you know, as all the chainsaws and pole saws and all, but man, they've got a lot in gas and electric to offer, and we've got both, and we've got all of it. So if you're in the market for anything that handheld, whether it be gas or electric, come see us. We've got a full display of steel up here in our showroom.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I've been running Steel's Combi tool, the multi-system, for a long time. And also, I probably ask you this on the air, you're going to be mad. Like, no, do you have, you know, that blower I was looking for? Y'all, there's I got a blower on my regular Combi tool, but there's, so my buddy's son who does lawn maintenance, he's got one. You could power up. We could probably move the boat along the pond with this thing. You got that big one in?
Yes. Yeah, those big ones, the BR-800s.
Yes.
Those are the big backpack blowers, and they got the easy start on them. So, you know, you don't have to put this one on the ground, put your foot on it, and start yanking on it. This one, you throw it on your back. It's got a real light pull cord on it right there by your waist. You pull it really lightly, and it fires right up. And it's a nice blower.
the things are awesome. If y'all just stop by the shop to look at them and see what I'm talking about. Now, if somebody's like, okay, I got projects going this weekend, and I'm not looking to buy something, I'm looking to rent something for the weekend, talk about the rental department.
We're good, and we're stocked up in rental right now. Tractors, excavators, skid steers, dump trailers, man lifts, a little bit of everything. If you're looking to run a water line, just a simple project of running a water line, we got trenchers and we got them on trailers. You just hook up and go. So any type of outdoor projects you're looking to do, we've got it all from the handheld power tools up to the larger skid steers, excavators, dozers, all of that right here in Robertsdale.
Okay, so you're in Robertsdale, but you're also online, I know, because I go look through y'all's inventory. How do they find you online?
We are online. We're at ParisTracker.com. You can come by and see us in person here in Robertsdale at Paris Tracker. We're right here on Highway 59 in the middle of town. Or you can give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thanks, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Paris Tractor. Let's grab some text here. This one, unnamed texter. Once again, I will always say, give yourself, even if you know, your first name, last name, or just a nickname on here. It just, I don't know. I mean, you don't have to, but instead of just saying unnamed texter, give yourself a handle. So this unnamed texter said, thought the secretary did well this morning, so stupid that we're having to talk about a damage report. Second most effective bombing ever behind Fat Man and Little Boy. They both ended wars and saved lives. I think they did a great job. I don't know if it ends a war with Iran or not. And we'll get into that later in the hour. I mean, I want to play those clips from Pete Hegseth is to say, I agree with him that there's a portion of that press corps out there that's just, there's nothing that President Trump could do that they would ever write a story that positive, you know, and it doesn't need to be positive. Scrap that, just a down, not a negative, just the facts kind of story. I think Pete Hegseth wants some positive stories, some rah-rah stories. Yeah, it'd be tough to get, you know, old line journalists to do that, but just be honest, right? But I think there are some out there asking secondary and tertiary questions here about what's next, how much does Iran have left? I don't think that is crapping on the mission. I think that's asking a fair question, and we'll get into that in a second. You know what, Texter, I hope they ended a war. I pray. If you hadn't heard me for a long time, last thing I want us in is another war that we don't have to be in. Like anything that excites John Bolton, like Jeff was joking about, because he knows how I am. If it excites John Bolton, it excites Lindsey Graham, it bothers me. All right, on the fireworks side, well, B-Dark, I'm sorry, said, I don't care for fireworks. They scare my dogs to death. There's all kind of pills and stuff, and I don't know if it's legal anymore in Alabama. Who knows where the law is on the CBD and all that stuff. There's some kind of like CBD stuff, gummies you can give the dogs to chill them out. B-Dark, I always had the other problem. So I've always had, except for the last two, they're still around, they're house dogs. I've always had hunting dogs, right? Labrador Retrievers, German Shorthair Pointers. My dogs, when they hear fireworks go off, were always excited. They're looking for, okay, we're hunting. The fireworks, they phased them not. Well, it did phase them. It excited them. So thank you. Larry from Daphne says, call one of the new fireworks the Freedom Dorito Extravaganza. So what I was talking about is I've yet to go in the big shiny fireworks stand by my house, which I do love to do, and I post pictures each year of all. Even if you're not buying fireworks, just go in and look at the names. It's very cheap. It's zero cost entertainment for you and the family to go walk through and look at the names of the fireworks. It's maybe you don't have the same sense of humor as I do, but it makes me laugh. And I was just asking, are we going to have any rebranded just in time, like Bunker Buster? We're going to have the Midnight Hammer fireworks display. Dr. Mariana, Dr. Mariana, she's talking about the Ayatollah saying that, yeah, if you didn't hear this coming out this morning, straight out of the words of Khamenei, said he's declared victory over Israel and America. He says the U.S. strikes achieved nothing and Iran slapped America's face. I mean, that's a little Baghdad Bob-ish. Remember those older folks like me? Y'all can remember old Baghdad Bob? So, yeah, the Americans have been turned away as, you know, we've got tanks rolling into Baghdad. So, Dr. Bergotta says, what's that boy been smoking in his hookah? Let's see. Ben, help me decide. Should we rename Snap and Pops or the really cheap smoke bombs as an Iranian face slap? That's fantastic. Somebody go look at Urban Dictionary. Tell me if there's not already something that I probably shouldn't say correctly. that, you know, Sean, you just said a dirty thing, Iranian face slap. Now they're coming in. All right, Fire Dog says, we buy these every year and they work great for the 4th of July. These are Heavenly Hound. So, B-Dark, maybe I could cut and paste this picture. Peanut butter flavored relaxation squares. So, chill the dog out during fireworks. So, there you go. Thank you. Thank you, Fire Dog. At 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad you're here. We're continuing. I don't know who this texter is. By the way, I'm reading the text line. You can get those through at 343-0106. But if Dalton, if you're listening out there, go check out. We won't give you the phone number on there, but go check out the most recent text. Unnamed texter. Who said earlier thought the secretary did well this morning, sent a picture. You go look at it. I can say it because it's on there. Whoever you are, this is exactly what I did after the show yesterday. They sent a picture of, remember, any of y'all see Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Hopefully a lot of y'all have. Even my youngest child, I've got him to watch it. You know, once he turned a teenager and a couple years in, I'm like, all right, boy, come here. You're going to watch Red Dawn. You're going to watch Monty Python. I'm going to educate you, boy. It's a picture of the... Texter, whoever you are, it's exactly what I said to Dalton yesterday. It's a picture of the knight with no... Of course, he has no legs, no arms, and he's still saying he's going to fight, right? And there he is. So whoever you are, you're very funny because I did the same thing. Fire Dog said, slap the U.S. in the face. Sure is a nice power plant. Shame if something were to happen to it. Yeah, that's coming in. He said, I mean, it's like he has, it's kind of some, what do the kids say? I'm learning things being around all these teenagers back from college. It's giving. Parents, have you heard this one? It's giving Baghdad Bob. Younger people or cool ladies out there, let me know if I did that correctly or not. When Khamenei said he has now declared victory over Israel and America and said U.S. strikes achieved nothing and that Iran slapped America's face. Am I using it right? He said that's giving Baghdad Bob. I'm trying to be good on my slang. And then, of course, I had to open Twitter for that. There's a picture, another ridiculous picture of Kim Jong-un. We might have to talk about that story in just a little bit. All right, let's see. From Maximus says, Khamenei must have Kamala's press secretary. Or maybe Baghdad Bob went into, you know, relocated, changed his name, and now is doing press work out there. Let's see. This is from Chris in Orange Beach. In your lifetime, have you ever seen a stronger president sit behind the Resolute desk? And I promise you never will again. You never will again. So, yeah, we'll get more texts here in just a second. I do want to continue this and just kind of go through what I mentioned while I hear what Hegseth was saying, because there's a lot in the press out there that were just, they're going to find the negative angle. And then they got this leaker, the press conference going on right now with the, they believe that somebody in the Intel department that leaked the information on the strike in Iran. So that's boiled down here. But I do want to, so there's a story here and I think it's worth talking about it. Like I said, I don't think it's against the strike that happened. I told you I'm not for engaging in war with Iran. I'm for boxing them out. I'm just not looking for another war for our country. Like I said, if it excites John Bolton and Lindsey Graham, it not always, but rarely is for me. So I saw this story, and I thought this was from the New York Post, and I was reading through it. Pretty interesting. They're talking about what may be still there. Now, I don't know how solid the information is, but in the story they said they expected that Iran, before the bombing, had about 900 pounds of uranium, okay? And it had 900 pounds. I had nothing out, nor probably should we know in the open press. what they believe they destroyed or didn't destroy. But they had almost 900 pounds of uranium that was enriched to 60% purity. It says it's been unaccounted for since the airstrikes from Israel began on the 13th. Now, how they ever accounted for them in the first place is interesting. We'll get to that. So they had it, and there was activity in the story from the New York Post are talking about moving. It's not like, hey, this is the uranium truck, but there were cargo-style trucks that were outside of Fordow. The main one hit, although there were other installations hit, but Fordow hit. This is an assumption, right? Nobody was, well, probably Mossad has people on the ground that could tell you for sure, but the assumption is maybe that they were loading these trucks with this uranium to move them to different places. And they have many different places. In this article, I think, which is a heck of a read, maybe I'll pop this up on the Twitter, the X feed for you to look through. They had multiple different locations. Nearby, though, one called Pickaxe Mountain. Sounds like something from Minecraft or something. Pickaxe Mountain. It's in the Isfahan province. So satellite images that they have over the, I guess, coming through Israeli intelligence, I think, here, and then the IAEA, which is a UN atomic energy group that is foiled at every turn, showed that this nearby Pickaxe Mountain had all kind of new work being done on it. It showed a tunnel mouth. It showed a security perimeter set up. IAEA at some point here over the last few months asked Iran about it, and I basically, without translation, Iran basically said, none your business. So in the story, they got a former Israeli Mossad analyst who says Iran has a number of these hidden sites. Now, Pickaxe Mountain is close to the Fordow, and that's what they're, but they say it has a number of these hidden sites that have centrifuges in them. Now, this is, you know, a former Mossad agent says maybe as many as 6,000 places in Iran where they could have this. Now, most attention's on the Fordow site, but the Pickaxe Mountain nearby is supposedly deeper. I don't know if they figure that out by how many loads of dirt come out in trucks. Or I don't know how they figure that. But they said they think it's deeper, maybe 100, what they say in there, 100 meters. So what is that, 3,000 feet? No. Yeah, there's 3 feet in a meter. Yeah, so 100 meters, so 300 feet deep. Plus, they're also saying that the mountain that it's under is 50% taller than the mountain at Fordow. So they wonder if they didn't move some of the uranium there and centrifuges set up there to take it. It would make sense to me. I mean, if you're the Iranians and you're trying to keep this stuff, you disperse it, right? You're not gonna hide your cash all in one place. And of course, without real inspection there, you just have to guess what's really going on. But this is the guy quoted in here, Rafael Grossi of the IAEA said, since it's obvious it is a place where numerous and important activities related to the program are taking place, we're asking them, what is this for? And they're telling us it's none of your business. He added that it cannot be excluded that the tunnels, this is that Pickaxe Mountain, would store undeclared material. I'm going to start using that thing too. What do you got in that bag? Don't worry, it's undeclared material. Grossi continued to say, I've been raising the issue repeatedly and I will continue to do so. Said in the story here, it was not immediately clear if Pickaxe suffered any damage during the latest strikes that target Natanz, as well as Fordow and Isfahan nuclear facilities. So I think this is a fair question. And I don't want to sound like the people that are looking for another strike just because they want to sell we the taxpayers even more bunker buster bombs and all that. But it is a fair question. I mean, I don't think they're not set back. For sure, they were set back. How long does it take to get it turned around and back up at another place? And then, or 10 other places, or 12 other places, or 20 other places. I mean, this is they've had long enough to know something was coming to you would imagine, do something like that, to distribute, to balkanize the uranium. So, you know, you hit one place, you don't get it all at that time. Also, remember on Monday, we talked about my list of the possible things I thought could happen an Iranian reaction. First one was conventional, and we saw that with the missile launches into Israel and then the missile launches into Doha, Qatar. And that happened. Then we went down the list of possible other, the terrorist question. I mean, ISIS rounded up Iranians. It didn't mean they were plotting, but there were illegal immigrant Iranians, I think 17 as of yesterday, rounded up. That's a question out there. Sleeper cells, lone wolves, whatever euphemism they try. Terrorists that we want to hurt us that are inside our borders right now. Okay. And another one on my list, I said, what about a cyber attack? Remember, we were talking about that, like the possibility of a cyber attack. I was wondering if Iran would use Russia's hacker. Because Russia kind of, even though they didn't exactly leap to defend Iran, but they have that relation. Do they use this? Well, I saw a story, comes up today. This is a threat brief, okay? Threat brief, and it comes from a tech website that does exactly this. It's they show you different cyber risk out there. It's more like they just stay in the world of what the cyber risk of the day, week, month are, those kind of things. And they have a brief here called The Escalation of Cyber Risk Related to Iran. And this is like this is kind of like maybe inside the industry website. So it's kind of written for those people, not written for mass consumption. But it says, the recent conflict involving Iran, particularly its military engagements with Israel and the United States, significantly heightens the risk of cyber spillover. This extends traditional battlegrounds into the digital realm. Now, you see the story out, right, this has already happened, right? I think it was the Hill had a story, said Iranian-aligned hackers claim responsibility for a Truth Social cyber attack. Those I fear less. You take away Truth Social or social media, you make it so people can't log on Facebook for a while. I mean, people can survive that. I'm worried about power grids, water, those kind of things. They said in this story that Iranian-aligned hacking group 313 team, well, that's not as fun as like Mustang Panda or Fuzzy Bear, but they're called the 313 team, took credit for a distributed denial of service, so a DDoS attack on Truth Social within hours of the U.S. strikes. Okay. So that's one that's been out there. They talk about that story. But this kind of insider website, not insider, it's open website, but they said, here's what they think might happen. They said, while we have not seen a dramatic uptick in Iranian-directed cyber attacks, further escalations could manifest in a surge of cyber operations by both state-sponsored group and independent hacktivist. Their aim would be to disrupt, collect intelligence on, and influence perceived adversaries. Iranian threat groups have a history of targeting critical infrastructure and sensitive industries across public and private enterprises globally. Now, that's the one. I mean, the denial of service on Truth Social, that might, for some of y'all, be a major issue, but I'm worried what they're worried about. You know, you get infrastructure hits out there. Further in this brief, it said, over the past 2 years, we have observed Iranian-backed groups and hacktivists expanding their global cyber operations, employing the following activities. Number one, opportunistically leveraging generative AI for social engineering and influence operations. So if you go to like ChatGPT today and you say, hey, what happened with the U.S. operation in Iran, and it comes back and says, Iran slapped the face of America, that might be a sign that ChatGPT has been infiltrated. So they said that's number one. Number two, explicitly linking destructive acts to geopolitical events. They said these are in addition to activities groups have historically been known for, and it's possible these activities could further intensify the context of recent events involving the Israel, United States, and Iran. So they said this came out a couple days ago, expect DDoS attacks. Okay, so that's happened. This one, they said website defacements. I guess you go on and change what's on there and make it say something different. Data exfiltration and wiper attacks. Now, this is interesting. They said these are reminiscent of the ones they previously observed from Iranian groups targeting the Israeli education and technology sectors. So they go in, I guess, and in a cache of information for education or tech, they just delete it. Also says, in this AI-enhanced social engineering, the one that was mentioned, it said this group recently observed an Iranian threat group. Oh, here we go. One of these hacking groups called Charming Kitten. So we got Mustang Panda for the Chinese. Was it like Fuzzy Bear or something, or Gummy Bear or something for the Russians? This Iranian group called Charming Kitten. Why don't they call it Persian Kitty? Wonder if that website's taken. It says Charming Kitten. It says using generated AI, or Gen AI, in a malicious PDF, which masked as a document from U.S. nonprofit research organization, the RAND Corporation. Group deployed the PDF alongside its targeted malware. So they expect some of that to be coming as well on this. So it's interesting. I'll tell you what, I'll put this one up as well. You can read it over at X, but at FM Talk 1065. I'll post that and read. But it's interesting how they predict cyber attacks would look coming from Iran. Might be worth taking a read. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, 1254 FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line, both 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Brady Petrie from Landnap, a lot to talk about with him. Now there are four in the Mobile mayoral race. We'll talk about what had happened this week and some other stories from around the city and area with him at about 105, 106. He comes on with us. A couple texts here, and then I grab a story here before we wrap up the hour. Fire Dog says... Charming Kitten, which if you didn't hear, that's a name of an Iranian hacking group, Charming Kitten. So Charming Kitten is the name of my Tammy Wynette Metallica crossover band. I'll get tickets, man. I cannot wait to hear. I cannot crossover. Like, I remember, who was it? Dread Zeppelin. You know, I'm a big Led Zeppelin fan. If you listen any time, you probably figured that out. There was a band when I was a student at the University of Alabama. This was way back in 1990, kids, that used to come through Dread Zeppelin. They did Led Zeppelin songs, reggae style. I thought it was pretty cool. But you're going to have Charming Kitten. I don't know. I mean, why they're not calling themselves Persian Kitty, I'm not sure. Not sure. Let's see. Butterknife. Everything we're doing in the Middle East, just rinse and repeat. I fully support Israel defending themselves, but if you're a 10-year-old kid right now living in Palestine, how's that kid going to feel about Israel in 10 years? Horrible. Butterknife, I've said it. I mean, we've talked about it many times. And was it Crystal who said it first? Or that it's insurgent math, right? This is my issue with Gaza, right? And saying, well, you know, Israel's going to occupy Gaza, and how's it? And what that insurgent math is, if y'all probably heard it before, right? So you kill one and you create three or two. I forget what he said in the quote, but in other words, if I'm just kind of on the sideline, you know, in a place like Gaza, you know, and you know I'm not a fighter, I'm not in Hamas, but you kill my brother, you kill my uncle, you kill something. Now I'm in, and maybe you know there's two of us that get in for every person you kill. So you're, I'm with you. Butterknife, how you solve that, I don't know. Remember, I'm the guy that asked to not get engaged in wars everywhere. We've seen how that has gone. Let's see. You got to be kidding me. CB Carl, I knew you were cool. He said, we have a Dread Zeppelin CD. Remember that, man? Dread Zeppelin. Let's see. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put Fire Dog and T-Bone together here because Fire Dog, T-Bone just said on the text line that your band Charming Kitten, which is the Tammy Wynette Metallica crossover band, T-Bone says, and y'all's biggest hit was Stand By Your Sandman. I just have y'all write for me. We'll do a show here. And let's see. And Bob Dog said, Iranians must have done a cyber attack on Paul Feinbaum's show. He was having trouble getting phone calls through on a show yesterday. Yeah, I heard some of that. It's crazy at the big network levels. It's not like Paul's running the engineering there, right? But you'll hear it in national news and all that. It's I think I've lamented, some people call it complain, I've lamented about this over the years when the big networks, I'm like, can't y'all just, I want to call up there and say, y'all know you can just do this and not have that issue and back time into it that way. But they're not listening. Maybe it's all, maybe there's nobody left up there at those companies. They've, you know, big media companies, they fire the majority of people, the human beings, and often the people that are making the most money are the people that had the institutional wisdom of how those operations worked. And I'm not saying that's what happened yesterday, Mob Dog, I don't know. But you'll call up, be like, hey, y'all's feed, something is messed up with your, I don't know, man. You can leave a message with somebody, they'll get to you Monday. I'm like, well, y'all are sounding like fools on the air right now. But, oh, well. I'm just some hayseed in Mobile, Alabama. What do I know? I know this. We'll be back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile next.